And joining us right now is one of my favorite songwriters in the country. Yeah, you know him, you love him, the music, the songs like Eye of the Tiger by Survivor, and one of my favorites, Vehicle by the Ides of March, The Search is Over by Survivor. How about Rockin' Into the Night by 38 Special? They're all written by my guest, Jimmy Peterik. He is with us right now. Jim, congratulations on your success, and now you're an author, too.
Hey, Mark, and thank you for appreciating those songs. I still can't believe that those songs have lived on. I mean, you know, when I wrote, or actually co-wrote Eye of the Tiger back in 82, I thought, well, this is going to be big with the movie, you know, because we got a $10 million video to go with it. And I thought it would just, you know, run its course. But what amazes me, Mark, is that in the year 2010, that song is still around. It's everywhere. The kids have rediscovered it through things like Rock Band and all those video games. But it's been a great career. You know, it's been a lot of ups and downs. But when the Dummies people asked me to write a book about the process of songwriting, I jumped at it because it's what I do. It's what I do from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed is write songs.
Well, we're going to talk about the book in a little while. I want to talk a little bit about you first and about your career. I remember in 1970, Ides of March in the song Vehicle. It hit number two in the charts. It's a great tune, and it was revived, actually, in things like American Idol. I remember someone singing that, and it's been performed all over the place by a number of people. Tell us a little bit about your early career when you started out and your first taste of success.
Well, yeah, we started the Ides of March. By the way, Vehicle was by the Ides of March, and I'm clearing that up because so many people thought either Chicago or Blood, Sweat, and Tears. And granted, we're from the same town as Chicago, but totally different bands. We were carried our brass along with us. It was just a real tight unit that we formed the band in high school with high school buddies. And by the way, 47 years later, we're still together with the original Vehicle lineup.
Wow.
But yeah, those early days were amazing. You know, I was in freshman year of college, and we had been playing around locally, and I wrote the song called Vehicle, wrote it for a girl, tried to win her back, and I guess it worked because 38 years later, I'm still married to that girl. So I always say, guys, if you want to get your girl, write them a number two song, you know. But we went in the studio with our managers at the time and went into a studio that was really not a rock studio. All they had done was jingles and voiceovers until we came in. But somehow we got the place working, and we did this magic take of the song called Vehicle, and we sent it to Warner Brothers, and which was our label at the time, and they go, are you kidding? This is the number one record. They released it. It went to the top, almost to the top of the charts. In the cash box, it was number one, but Billboard is number two. And suddenly we're on the road. You know, it was a great year to be successful. You know, 1970, we were out with Zeppelin, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, the Allman Brothers, and a lot of lesser really cool bands like Rhinoceros and Poco. And what an amazing time for a 19-year-old.
Wow. Yeah, now, but was it difficult to adjust to? I mean, when you go from, you know, being someone that no one knows to someone automatically number, you know, on the top of the charts and touring with legends, was it difficult for the ego to take it and digest it all?
Well, you know, for us, we're really well grounded. You know, we're all from the same hometown of Berwyn, Illinois. That's Berwyn. And have, you know, come from great families, very supportive families, not wealthy families, but solid, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I remember the night that Led Zeppelin invited us to the penthouse suite in Winnipeg. And we showed up at the door, knocked on the door, and Robert Plant answered the door with his leopard skin bikini briefs. And, hello, mates, you know. And we looked past him, and there's pretty much naked groupies doing a pillow fight in back of us, in back of him. Drugs were flowing, booze was flowing, all sorts of debauchery, every manner. And we're standing there, we're all 19, 20 years old. We had never seen anything like this. You know, we're not in Kansas anymore, you know. And I looked at Larry, I said, man, this is not our scene, we're out of here. And we turned on our heels and went to Dunkin' Donuts across the street. So that pretty much sums up, you know, the Ides of March. We were a very clean-cut, if you will, band, and maybe that's why we're still here and still healthy and still enjoying rock and roll.
So, meanwhile, after many years of Ides of March and still with them, but you actually became a co-founder of the group Survivor as well.
Correct.
Why was that?
Well, the Ides broke up in 1973. One of the members, Jim Peterick, that's me, decided, well, you know, I've had enough of the group thing. I'm going to go solo. In those days, you know, if I had to do over, I probably would have said, guys, give me a year off. I want to do a solo record. But no, at that time, it was either solo or a group. And at the time, I wanted to be Cat Stevens, you know, or I wanted to be Paul Simon or any of my heroes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the guys, we broke up in 73. And, my solo album, Don't Fight the Feeling, came out in 76 on Epic and took a giant swan dive. I think it cracked the charts in number 98 or something. Came out the same week as Boston, the same label, and I totally got swallowed by that. It's a good album. It's called Don't Fight the Feeling. But after the relative lack of success, recovering from pneumonia, and I said, you know, I'm going to put together the ultimate rock band. Can I start talking, Mark?
Go ahead. You're back on.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, my decision was I'm going to put together the ultimate rock band. And I started calling people that were just my favorite people overall. Frank Sullivan, amazing guitarist, young kid with long blonde hair who played in a band called Mariah, which I was close with because I wrote material for Mariah. I called up Dave Bickler, who this great, great singer that I did jingles with. We sang for like American Airlines and Potato Chips, but I knew this guy was more than just a jingle singer. And I called up the rhythm section from the group Chase, the horn band that, of course, tragically went down in a plane crash a few years later. But the rhythm section, of course, survived, and we put together Survivor. And we started playing the clubs around Chicago. And an amazing, amazing success story. When we finally broke through, and the Scotti Brothers signed us to a four album deal, and of course the big break, it was 1982, and when I got that famous call from Sylvester Stallone, which I still wish I had on the answering machine, but I erased it. But we had a 17 year run with the band Survivor.
But of course the call from Frank was to do the music to Rocky III.
Well, yeah, the call from Stallone was out of the blue. You know, I thought someone was pulling my leg. You know, I get home and I play the answering machine and I hear, hey, yo, Jim, give me a call, Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
I'm going, yeah, whatever, somebody's pulling my leg, you know. And I called him back. I figured, well, whoever's doing it's doing it. Dead-on good Sylvester Stallone, and he answers the phone, hey, yo. I mean, he actually said, yo. And I said, it's Jim Peterick of Survivor. Is this really you? He said, yeah, call me Sly. And he said, I got this new movie. It's going to be Rocky III. I don't want to use that Gonna Fly Now song anymore. I want something for the kids, something with a pulse, you know. So he sent us the rough cut of the movie, which had temporary music in it. That's what they do. And they just cut it to stuff that they're not going to use. And in the place where Eye of the Tiger ended up, there was Another One Bites the Dust by Queen. And I'm working with Frankie here in our kitchen. I'm going, man, Frankie, how are we going to beat this? This is pretty terrific. And I called Stallone. I said, why don't you just use this one? He says, well, we can't get the publishing rights. I go, okay. So lucky for us, right?
Mm.
So we're watching the movie, and I had my Les Paul on, and I just started playing that 16th note figure, digga 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 digga, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Saw the punches being thrown, and I had my guitar just going bop, 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 you know, and the whole song just flowed. And we picked the term "Eye of the Tiger" out of the dialogue. It's another thing I have to thank Stallone for, is that phrase existed in the dialogue. We just harnessed that those words, and they still resonate.
Eye of the Tiger was number one for 6 weeks in 1982.
Right. At that point, we were on the road, you know, with REO Speedwagon and just playing to these sheds, 20,000 people a night, just pretty amazing times.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was unbelievable enough when you were with Ides of March and had this big hit. Now you're with Survivor, not only having that hit, but then all of a sudden, High on You and Burning Heart and all the different songs that came after it, The Search Is Over. You guys had quite a streak going.
We had quite a run. I think the thing that maybe separated us from some bands is that we never ran out of material, and that segues to the songwriting thing. I'm really a serial songwriter. That's what I do. It's what I do all the time, and we never ran out of material because we're on the road and I'm in the bus writing another song. So we had seven albums full of pretty decent songs, and I think that set us apart from some of the other bands.
When you're writing, what comes first to you, the lyrics or the music?
Well, usually, Mark, they come kind of simultaneously. If I'm going through a common day, sometimes I'll just get a snippet of a melody. I don't know where it comes from. All I know is I'm not going to ask too many questions about it. And it's either a negative, I'm either a minor key or a major key, kind of an idea usually. And I'll flip through my notebook, and I keep meticulous notebooks. I must have 10,000 notebooks. I don't know how many I have, but they're all labeled as to the year and the dates and everything. And I'll flip through notebooks, finding a title or a concept that seems to fit the mood of the music. And then I'll just kind of what I call gobbledygook lyrics. I'll just, pick a progression, and then I'll just start scatting nonsense lyrics. And then I'll stick the title in there, more nonsense lyrics, stick the title in, and I'll play the tape back, and a lot of times those nonsense words actually sound like words, and they become words. It's a pretty weird and magical little process, but it seems to work.
So you've written this book here along with Dave Austin and Kathy Lynn, and it's a really comprehensive book. It's not just about songwriting, because songwriting is only part of the whole thing. You actually talk about getting rhythms and lyrics, but even more importantly, talking about marketing and about getting legal representation and all those kind of important things that you need to do even after you've written a song.
Well, that's right. I mean, writing the song is the tip of the iceberg. If you don't have the rest of it, it'll sit on a shelf, or you could play it for your mom and dad, but that's where it's going to stop. And that might be enough for some people, but if you want to market your music, then you got to know the proper steps. It's a process. It's writing the song, it's demoing the song, it's getting the song out there. It's getting the song out there to publishers, to managers, to management companies. Endless possibilities. Not easy to do. And I talk about, writing a sample letter to these various people to get permission to send a tape. Otherwise, I still call them tapes. Actually, they're we usually now MP3 things, which is very, very clean and very fast, but you still have to have permission to send these demos out. And then, of course, you have to know the ropes in terms of protecting your music through through copyrights, and forming your own publishing company. It's all in there, and it's really not that hard. You just got to know how to do it.
I think that's the coolest thing, because if you think about it, I mean, first of all, I'm not sure if you can teach someone how to write a song. But if people have an inclination toward knowing how to write poetry, knowing how to put rhythms together, knowing music, they can do it. But then once you've written it, what do you do then? And that's what this book, Songwriting for Dummies, I think does a really good job of.
Well, I appreciate that. We spent a lot of time on it. This is the second edition. The Dummies people, we sold like a quarter of a million books on the first time around. So the Dummies people said, it's time for an update, because that was 2002. And I said, I couldn't agree more, because technology has come so far, since then, and the Internet has come so far since 2002. I mean, that was like the wild frontier back there. Also, songs. We wanted to use some more current examples, like rather use Alicia Keys than the Backstreet Boys, to pick apart a song, for instance. So it was time for an update.
I think the coolest part of the book, and one of the coolest parts for me, was your choice of 10 songs you should know. Tell me a little bit about why you chose those 10 songs.
Well, it's not in front of me, but, it's a tough one, because what's the criteria? I think it was probably that list was a brain trust between Dave, Kathy, and myself. And you just go with your gut, and it's significant songs in my life, something like God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. changed my life. You know, those moments where you hear the song and you're immediately transported to the place that you were when you heard the song for the first time. You smell the smells, you taste the tastes, you see the girl who you were dating at the time. Those are the important songs to me.
Some of the songs that you picked are songs that I think are you know, complicated, really incredible songs, like Bohemian Rhapsody, which has a few different parts to it. And it's a fantastic song, Imagine by John Lennon, again, a no-brainer. One of the ones you put in here is one of my favorite songs, and I actually prefer Eva Cassidy's version of Somewhere Over the Rainbow, which is that's an interesting choice.
Yeah. Well, look at the melody of that, you know, the emotion of the melody. I always talk about emotion of lyrics, but there's emotion to the melody, too. And you're right, the Eva Cassidy version is absolutely brilliant. It's just a great song. You know, it has to be in any list to me.
Yeah, I agree there, but some of your choices are interesting, like a Rolling Stone. I know you got to have to Bob Dylan in there. I'm not sure I would have picked that one, but...
well, look, I could have put together so many lists of 10, but Dylan was a benchmark for that rambling style. I think we used it as an example more than anything else. Totally unique. It was never done before, that rambling style of lyric writing, stream of conscious. So I put him in there for that reason.
Mm. Yeah, I don't want to get into all the songs that you listed here because I'll let people buy the book and see it. But it's a fantastic book, and it's actually one of these things that is fun reading. It's Songwriting for Dummies, part of that that series, and it's a second edition, and it's available, of course, at all bookstores. You can go to dummies.com. Do you have a website of your own people can visit?
I sure do, Mark. It's jimpeterick.com, jimpeterick.com. I'm also on Facebook. I just saw that movie Social Network, and I really have a new appreciation for Facebook. But I have a really current Facebook site where pretty much it's very, very up to date as far as what I'm up to, like producing a fantastic female singer named Lisa McLowry. Her album just came out, and she can be checked out at lisamclowry.com, LISAMCCLOWRY. Represents to me the state of my art in terms of songwriting right now and production. There's never a dull moment. I've got tons of gigs with the Ides of March. We play about 50 shows a year, all the original lineup. I do a thing called World Stage where I bring together, you know, the lead singers and key musicians to a lot of the groups that I toured or wrote with back in the day. And we put on concerts both for charity and for profit. So I'm just, I'm still loving it.
Are you doing any new recordings of some of your new songs?
Yes, the Lisa McLowry record, as I said. Also, the Ides of March have a brand new album called Still 19.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, combines the horns, the harmony. It's the first all-original album we've done since 1973. And when I say all-original, there's no remakes. It's just all...
Brand new songs, yeah.
Peterick songs, yeah.
Well, to get copies of those so we can talk about it. And also, I'll post I'll send a link to you to this interview when it's up.
Oh, that would be
so
great.
So you can post it on your page.
I will absolutely do that. My email, Mark, is govehicle, govehicle, govehicle@aol.com. And if you give me a hard address, a street address, I'll send you the current stuff I've been working on.
We'll do that after we're done here, but... Yeah, so the book, how did it come about actually writing it? I know it's the second edition, but when it originally came up, what was it that got you interested in doing this?
Well, I mean, what a better way to mass market your ideas and philosophies about songwriting? You know, everybody says, they laugh when I say I wrote Songwriting for Dummies because it's such a funny sound. But it is really the best way to get your ideas across. I mean, this book is in every bookstore worldwide. You know, and so it's just really, I was very fortunate. They approached me through Dave Austin, and I said, yeah, of course, let's do it.
Now, did Eye of the Tiger win a Grammy?
It did. It did. Best Song of 1982 and Best Production. So,
wow.
You know, it was a big deal. It did not win the Oscar. It was nominated, but Love Lift Me Up Where We Belong took the Song of the Year. I was sitting in the audience, you know, I know what it feels like to have egg dripping down your face. So it was a great experience.
Yeah, and you've written 18 top 10 hits on Billboard.
Right, right.
So there'll be more coming, though. It sounds to me like you got more coming.
Yeah, I'm hoping. You know, I always feel my best song is ahead of me, and that's the way I live my life.
You just mentioned Facebook, and I'm a big Facebook guy myself, mm-hmm. and I'm big into the internet. How do you think, you know, looking back at 1970 when you first did Ides of March Vehicle, and now the music industry has changed incredibly. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, it's really the same. It's different, it's the same. I mean, it still starts with a great song. The delivery system is different. It's, you know, CDs are kind of becoming a thing of the past, I hate to say it. A lot of the big chains are disappearing. Some of the major stores are shrinking down their CD section to almost nothing. It really is an iTunes world. It's a download world, and people are not living with albums as much as we did. You know, when we bought an album, it was a song cycle. Now it's just single, 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 almost back to the days of 45. So I think that's the main difference.
Yeah, I'm a guy that slow to change. I didn't buy a CD player for many, 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 many years, and I have not downloaded anything. So,
well, that's kind of the way I am. That's kind of the way I am.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Well, again, the email address, if you want to write to Jim, you can write to him at govehicle@aol.com or visit his site, Jim, PETERIK.com. And it was a pleasure talking to you, Jim.
You too. I mean, I can tell you're a music lover just like I am, and I appreciate your interest.